Amid endless debates about this or that program, this or that weapon system, a crucial question goes unanswered. Does the military fundamentally have what it needs? The recent Commander-in-Chief Forum with the presidential candidates, well, that didn't settle anything. My next guest argues the crucial partnership on military basics between the Defense Department and Congress is badly frayed, and the military will be the worse for it. Justin Johnson is Senior Policy Analyst for Defense Budgeting Policy at the Heritage Foundation, and he joins me now. Justin, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
You have looked at this, Politico had that story a couple of weeks ago, saying that internal memos in the Defense Department said that they would play hardball with Congress on how the overseas contingency operations funds would be allocated. To you, that's indicative of a bigger battle.
You're right. First of all, I think, it's perfectly normal for an administration and Congress to have disagreements over specific bills, even for senior folks to do analysis like this memo to say, all right, here's where Congress is, here's our perspective. But what was, disturbing was how aggressive they were in this memo, how they're specifically calling out members they're going to target. They're deliberately trying to increase the partisanship on the issue to succeed in their agenda, which, let's back up to say, national security should be something where there's going to be little disagreements, but by and large, we should be able to work across party gaps to provide us the security that our country needs and the resources our military needs. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be happening right now.
Do you think that that gambit on the hardball could have been misplaced or displaced anger or frustration with the Obama administration?
Well, I think the folks who were wrote this memo, who were potentially or were preparing to play hardball, were the political appointees at the top of the Pentagon, and I think unfortunately the whole reason they were doing this, why they're so why they're digging in on this OCO funding issue, has nothing really to do with funding the military. It's actually about ensuring that funding for other parts of the federal government are tied to defense funding. I think that's, basically that's coming down from the White House. Senior political appointees at the Pentagon are being told to fight this. I don't think that's how budgets should be decided or considered. Everything should be considered on its own merits, not politically linked like the administration is trying to do right now.
And on the OCO, I frankly don't understand how, if everybody knows publicly that the military plans on using some of that, not for OCO purposes, but also for readiness and some of the things they feel are underfunded in the base budget, once that discussion is public, then doesn't that really change the mix of the way they budget it in the end?
Yeah, and I think the there is a legitimate concern here where the OCO account, it's outside of the normal budgeting process. It's supposed to be emergency funding. It's supposed to be just used for things that are really kind of transitory from year to year, like our operations in Iraq or Afghanistan. So this isn't the right way to use that fund, but I think your larger point is correct. Using that fund this year, as Republicans have proposed in Congress to address some of these sort of readiness crisis, if you will, it is not unreasonable. It's not the best way to do things, but we all know what they're trying to do, which is rebuild our military, and I think that's something that most folks are willing to support.
I guess that gets to the original question, is whether the military has fundamentally what it needs, given the missions that it has been given.
Yeah, and even just this past week, we saw each of the service chiefs for Congress testifying to the fact that they're in a rough shape. I think you and your listeners know well the range of threats we're facing. You've got Russia on the rise and doing all kinds of dangerous things in Europe. China's building illegal islands and stealing the secrets of the United States, not to mention the identities of millions of federal employees. You've got Iran, you've got North Korea, you've got terrorism, obviously. All those threats are on the rise at the same time that our military is shrinking. It's smaller than it's been in, basically since World War II. It's struggling with maintenance and training. We're not modernizing it appropriately. So I think we should be concerned about where the military is today versus our threats. And that's mainly a funding issue. And we need to increase funding for the military.
We're speaking with Justin Johnson, Senior Policy Analyst for Defense Budgeting Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Tied in with all this is the so-called Fourth Strategic Offset that is announced a couple of years ago by the leadership at the Pentagon. And they say that with the right technical advantage, we can live with much smaller forces. That's the theory. The question is, I guess, does anyone have any idea whether the offset will arrive in time for the smaller military to be effective?
I think there's a couple potential problems with that theory. First, as you mentioned, that's an investment in the future. Much of the technology they're going after is 5, 10, 20 years away. Obviously, I think from a national security perspective, we need to make investments in future technology. But I'm afraid that the problem might be in the nearer term. If we don't have a force that's large enough or ready for combat today or in the next 5 years, that gives potential adversaries a window of opportunity where they can do us harm or at least seriously hurt our interests around the world. I think that sort of near-term concern is something that's being sacrificed to instead focus on this long-term high-tech focus, which is exciting and sexy, but maybe misguided.
And it's been, 5 years or so now since Bob Gates said that healthcare costs are eating us alive, I think is the way he put it. And that's kind of an untouchable, the healthcare costs and the family benefit costs of the all-volunteer military. Anyone in Congress that you're aware of, or is there any thought of saying, well, maybe that shouldn't be untouchable, and maybe we need to be more practical about it to free up a little bit of money for the tooth part of this?
No, you're exactly right, and there are some sort of windows of or glimmers of hope, if you will, on that issue. Actually, last year Congress took some significant steps on reforming essentially military retirement. Those changes take years and years to actually start producing savings, but the changes have been made. This year, Congress actually has been considering some small steps on healthcare, reforming how TRICARE system works, and a variety of different things that are in the defense policy bill that's being negotiated right now. So I'm not sure that that's enough. I'm not sure that that really, gets the military on the a stable financial footing it needs to. But Congress is at least looking at it, which I think is a good sign.
And so with the political appointees playing this hardball role, as you put it, carrying the water for the White House within the Pentagon, that really sets up kind of an odd dynamic inside that building.
I think it does. It's to some degree, political appointees are always going to be carrying the water for the White House. That's part of their job. But I think what's different here is they're not carrying the White House's water in terms of advancing a specific agenda within the Pentagon. They're actually carrying the White House's water to advance their domestic agenda. So it has nothing to do with their jobs in the Pentagon that they're fighting on here. They're actually trying to get more money. Essentially, they're saying, What the Pentagon leaders are being forced to say by the White House is, we won't take another dollar, even though we desperately need it, unless there's also a dollar for the EPA or another federal agency. That's just absurd. That's carrying water. That's way too far, in my opinion, for what a political appointee should be asked to do.
Sounds like the 21st century version of guns and butter.
Yeah, exactly right. The American people, I think, want to see politicians in Washington consider every issue on its own merits. Here we've got the exact opposite. You've got defense and non-defense linked for political purposes that produces bad results. It's a bad process. No one benefits by that process. That's not how it should be done.
Justin Johnson is Senior Policy Analyst for Defense Budgeting Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.